you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. So good to see you. I hope that it's fair.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, September 30th, 2020. Being Wednesday, it's the Prime Life Times in Review with me. I can't say my Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday co-host because you've missed a few of these Monday, Tuesdays the last few weeks. This week we had two different testimonies, one on Monday with Joyce Mankey.
That was very
She's the office manager for the WLUJ family of stations. And then yesterday we had a special visitor from Uganda, Bonnie, and it's a boy's name, and he talked about Operation Christmas Child Shoebox and the impact it had on him. So that was a great program. Both are archived at greatnewsradio.org. But I got about five shout-outs that I have to do.
All right, go for it.
And we have Lyle in here because he's going to give me a little information, and then we're going to send him off on his way. He's making paper deliveries for the October edition. But we're going to be covering September today, right?
The
last day of September. But we have some new locations, so I want to honor these different folks. Jacob and Rosemary Lambright, they have a bakery, Sunrise Bakery in Decatur. And so they have our Prime Life Times rack there. Now, Lyle, again, in October is on the front page, and you heard him read his story last week.
Yeah, cicadas and carp.
Yeah, that was last week. So where is the new location in Decatur? Where is Sunrise Bakery?
Sunrise Bakery is right down the business complex where the Rural King is located, at the corner of Route 36 and 121 in Decatur.
Okay.
Mount Zion Road, it's called. The East Walmart. That would be an easy way.
Okay. It's kind of one of those strip malls where it's
just a few doors down from Rural King on the east side.
And Jacob and Rosemary Lambright are sweet, sweet, dear couple. I think four of their five children were here for the prayer gathering this past Saturday, and I hadn't caught up with them for about 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Jacob was on one of these trips to Israel. Quickly, I'll tell you this fast story. It's fascinating. So we have like 40 of us in Israel, you know, a spiritual pilgrimage, studying God's Word. We did some humanitarian mission projects.
Yeah.
Jacob, because of his Amish background, we didn't have any power tools or anything, and we were trying to figure out how we were going to build this clubhouse for these kids. He goes, oh, just get me a saw, get me this. And he became our contractor and walked us all through how to create and build things without power tools. Well, then also at the very end of the trip, the world's largest private collection of Elvis Presley memorabilia is in Israel.
Okay.
And there's a restaurant, and every square inch of this restaurant, I mean, the walls, the floors, the tables, the ceiling, they have like a 25-foot Elvis Presley statue in front of this restaurant.
Oh, my word.
This is in Israel. But it's the single largest personal collection of Elvis memorabilia.
Why isn't that at Graceland? Why is that doing over there?
I don't know. It's in Israel. But here's the funny thing. So we go to that, and they have burgers, and it's kind of a fun restaurant. Even though you're kind of on a spiritual pilgrimage in Israel, it's a stop to see.
Mentioned that.
Yeah. Anyways, so we get there, and Jacob turns, you know, we're in kind of a big group getting out of the bus, and he goes, now who's Elvis Presley?
Oh.
And I thought, thank you, God, that he wasn't maybe tainted or exposed or was kind of naive to Elvis Presley. I thought, what a great indictment on his character in a positive way. But he had never heard of Elvis Presley, and I thought, wow, that's pretty good.
I thought everybody knew about Elvis Presley.
Well, so did I. It kind of stunned us, but he and Rosemary are sweet saints, the lovely children, and so they were part of the prayer gathering. Anyways, so we're at the Sunrise Bakery in Decatur. Then John Heiselman, who volunteers and delivers papers, got two new locations in Paxton. Napa Auto Parts, a shout-out for JR. Thank you, JR, for having our papers there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Casey's in Paxton. Lisa's the manager there, and she said, yep, they're right on the rack. People can get them free of charge, so we appreciate those two new locations in Paxton. And then we have the two Ritz Little Fryer restaurants in Springfield. A little shout out to Vicky and Kurt. They own those two locations. One's on Grand Avenue, the other's on Jefferson Street in Springfield, and you can pick up the Prime Life Times papers there. So be sure to thank these businesses or the owners for allowing our paper to be accessible and picked up at their locations.
Mm-hmm.
So
thank you.
And then there's been some training. I have a new person helping out in Bloomington, Leon Cabe. So he's making deliveries there, and he's going to work on some sales. And there's another individual in Lincoln that I'll be meeting up either today or tomorrow to talk through deliveries. So the Prime Life Times paper continues to expand. And if you're saying, I've never heard of it before,
it's
coming to your area. In fact, I have a new volunteer that's willing to help out in Macomb.
Great.
So, there's a lot of different names going through my head.
Yeah, you got a lot whirling there.
I got to still meet up with him officially, but he heard our announcement and said he hadn't seen him around Macomb yet. I said, might
so
you
helpful.
Be the one to help get the word out? And he said, sure. And we're born in 1960, so we had some commonalities, and he's a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. He also listens to WLUJ, and so it'll be neat to meet up with him, too, in the coming days. Well, it's Wednesday. It's the Prime Life Times in Review. I know we're going to be talking about the polling place, and I'm sure many people were tuned in last night for the debate and are talking about this upcoming election. I mean, it's a kind of a flashpoint or a hot point or a topic of discussion. We're not going to be political on this. We just want to inform people of the importance of voting and why you need to have your voice heard and why this freedom should be exercised and we should embrace it and thank God for the privilege of being able to vote.
Well, you know, the reason we are having this series in the Prime Life Times is back at, I think it was January 2nd, it seems like a long time ago, doesn't it? Chief Justice Roberts, in his report, he said, in our nation, civics education has fallen by the wayside. And that just really struck me. And so we talked about it at our meeting, our first meeting of the year for the newspaper. And we said, let's do a series of articles about civics education, not one party or another, just, you know, civics education. So we did. We had Indiana and Illinois new laws for 2020. We had a great article, I thought, called One Person, One Vote, It's a Democracy. All of these were written by our famous Rob Seidenberg. We had Women's Right to Vote, Part 1.
He was extending his arms.
Yeah, you can't see that.
It's kind of like, thank you, my people, my fans, thank you.
He did not do
that,
but that's okay.
Keep those cards and emails coming.
Keep them coming. And we had Women Got the Vote, Right? Part 2. We had Native American Voting Rights. We had one about the Electoral College, which hopefully explained it. It was the clearest I've ever heard it explained. I still don't get it, but it was the clearest ever, Rob. And we have polling places here in September. So these have all had a good reception because even among just our editorial team, we've talked about it. Like, I didn't know that. I didn't know this.
And if we pique some of your interest, most of those copies are accessible at primelifetimes.com, primelifetimes.com. We usually have 8 months that are viewed right on the front page, so you just click on the edition, and it'll take you right to that edition, and you can read to it. There's a little icon of the front page you know, for the last, I think, 8 months. So. Primelifetimes.com.
So this month's is the polling place, but you were talking about a couple quotes you had, Rob, that you had mentioned.
Yeah, our justice's quote that you mentioned is important, but the Founding Fathers foresaw the need for civic education. So Thomas Jefferson wrote a letter to Richard Price in January of 1789 and said, the cornerstone of democracy rests on the foundation of an educated electorate. Whenever the people are well informed, they can be trusted with their own government. Whenever things get so far wrong as to attract...
Did you say well-informed or ill-informed?
Well.
Okay.
Well-informed, yeah. Whenever, good call, Mark.
Whenever things get so far wrong as to attract their notice, they may be relied on to set them right. That was Thomas Jefferson, 1789. And then in 1798, John Adams wrote this letter, which I'll just quote part of it, to the Massachusetts militia, because we have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion. Avarice, ambition, revenge would break the strongest cords of our Constitution as a whale goes through a net. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. So much for separation of church and state.
Oh, jeez.
It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. I like that. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. So to get right down to the article.
Titled, The Polling Place.
Yep.
This November, you will get to exercise one of your most precious rights as an American. You will get to vote. In some countries, citizens used to be polled quizzed orally about their choice of candidates, or separated by candidate preference with heads counted in an open field. They did that in Britain, by the way. The word poll, P-O-L-L, means the top or back of the head, thus the term polling for voting. The polls means the place where one votes. So we have Illinois and Indiana covered here because, as you know, in different states, the rules are different. So in Illinois, several precinct polling stations can be co-located at a polling place. A voter's residence determines the polling station or precinct. Many rural townships still have town halls whose primary functions are to host monthly township board meetings and to serve as polling places. Some townships have newer facilities designed to accommodate road maintenance equipment and house township offices and meeting room, which serves as the polling place. And you see those as you drive through the country, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Illinois law requires each county's board in counties with fewer than 3 million inhabitants at its regular June meeting to work to keep the election precincts and election districts of 500 to 800 voters. So if you had 200 voters, they might want to merge two or three mm-hmm. precincts. The state is a big merger.
Yeah, I vote out in the country, and it's kind of interesting. It's in a church,
yeah,
and in White Heath area, there's I don't know, a couple hundred people.
Right.
So
I voted the Carpenters Union.
Yeah, most you ever see cars on the country roads during polling time.
Yeah, my voting place is in a church near us in our neighborhood, but I vote by mail and have for years, so sue me. In Illinois, the county clerk procures polling places in churches, schools, public halls, or any other available building with easy access and sufficient parking.
I have to say this. It's going to be controversial, but everyone who lives in Illinois, you've always heard, vote early and vote often. Okay, no, everyone, I'm not saying vote more than once, but, you know, Illinois, we just have.
That's what it is, guys.
Yes.
Polling places.
The county clerk, also trains and provides election judges. Both major parties are entitled to an equal number of election judges. In Illinois, it's illegal to electioneer or solicit votes within 100 feet of any polling place or when a polling place is in a church or school on any property of that church or school. Election officers must place two or more cones, small U.S. flags, or other markers 100 feet from each entrance to the polling room where voters cast their votes. And when I was an election judge, a guy showed up and he started putting signs for candidates right outside the door.
Yeah, I've seen that at U of I at the ARC Center, right?
They have to
front
be a certain
door.
Amount of feet away.
100 feet.
Yeah,
and so I got out the rule book and showed him that. He goes, what? He said, I'm from Chicago, and that's how we do it. I said, no. Yeah. This is not Chicago, guys. Okay.
I didn't know that. Yeah.
So Indiana counties can establish vote centers rather than precinct-based polling places. Any eligible voter in the county may vote at any county vote center. A vote center clerk maintains records at each center. The Indiana Secretary of State has overall authority to conduct elections. The state or county can change a polling place at will. The county bears most municipal election expenses but can charge a municipality for the wages of extra persons who provide election-related assistance. In Indiana, to knowingly electioneer on election day within the polls or the chute, and the chute is defined as the area or pathway extending 50 feet in length measured from the poll's entrance, is a Class A misdemeanor. Electioneering includes expressing support for or opposition to any candidate or political party, or expressing approval or disapproval of any public question so as to convey such support or opposition to another person.
Well, what was that situation where somebody wore a T-shirt into a polling area, and because it didn't meet the requirements, the woman then took it off, and then there was a whole big...
So there was a scandal about it, right?
Yeah.
And she probably knew in advance that would happen.
Yeah.
Credentialed poll watchers, observers, may accompany the inspector and judge in delivering the tabulation and election returns to the county election board by the most direct route. Some Indiana counties still have special election sheriffs to supervise polling places and with authority to arrest those violating election law, though many Indiana counties don't anymore.
Rob, I bet you dreamed of becoming a special election sheriff. Am I right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And now we have Illinois and Indiana combined information.
Okay. Polling places must be handicapped accessible. Illinois law requires one voting booth for every 75 registered voters, and both states require booths to be in full view of election officials. But provide voter privacy while voting. Only election judges, certified observers and challengers, voters, and law enforcement personnel are permitted into the polling place on election day, except by special authority of the officers, as, for example, to keep order and enforce the law. Election judges. In both states, election judges must pass a certification course financed by the state. The state pays the election day judges. Judges maintain voter lists, register eligible walk-in registrants, maintain ballot boxes, and verify each voter who enters to vote. Election observers. In both states, independent or partisan observers, poll watchers, may attend the polls to ensure process impartiality. Observers are credentialed by the organization they represent, and their credentials must be registered with election authorities at least 2 weeks before the election. Some entities authorized to credential observers are established political parties, one observer per voting place, county citizen organizations and nonpartisan state civic organizations, two observers per polling place, and a candidate for office, two observers per voting place. Observers must be affiliated with the party or organization they represent. All poll observers and challengers must be registered voters of the state where the election takes place.
Now, have you had any of those roles, Rob?
I have not had those, but I've been an election judge, and I really enjoyed that. That was really great. Both Illinois and Indiana require observers and challengers to furnish their credentials to election judges when they enter the polling place where they're to observe. With credentials verified, observers may enter the polls 30 minutes before opening and remain there throughout election day until all tabulations have been completed.
Now, Marianne, you said you voted where? Where do you tend to vote?
At the Carpenters Union.
Now, do they have, like, little desserts and treats and such?
No.
Oh, our little country church where I vote, there's the whole big spread of snacks.
What?
And I think because maybe they're there all day long.
Sure.
And
well, I think
all sorts of treats.
They have some at the back for the judges and
not for the rest of us. In the country, we offered a lot of times snacks to everybody, but that was really for us judges. And
do you, like, offer more for people that vote the way you want?
No, no. But
oh, you're voting for them? Oh, come over here.
You can go to the snack tray.
I was criticized. I was a college student, and I would go around and pick people up, even though they weren't voting the way I would vote.
Of course.
And I took a lot of flack for that. And I said, look, it's everybody's right to vote.
That's
and
right.
These people can't drive. They're too old. They lost their license anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
So observers have the right to inspect paper ballot boxes, ballot card voting system, or electronic voting system before voting takes place. Observers may inspect all work of any precinct election officer, except they may not inspect confidential computer system logins or passwords. They may also enter, leave, and re-enter the polls at any time on election day, witness the calling and recording of votes, and watch the proceedings of election officers in the performance of official duties.
Hey, I don't see anything about hanging chads here.
No.
Yeah, okay. So
we're going to not finish the article now.
Okay. No, we are.
No, we only have another paragraph.
Okay, all right.
Just 2 months from now, you get to exercise your right to vote for the candidate and causes of your choice. Please don't neglect to vote. It's our right, and it's our responsibility. And this is taken from Illinois and Indiana election laws, and the 2020 Indiana Election Day Handbook.
Copyright Prime Life Times.
Now, you basically read through these manuals, these guides, these handbooks, and
gleaned
then you
it all.
Took all that information and
He's
put it into this month's edition. This is the last day you'll hear us talking about, the September edition, because over 300 locations are now being serviced with the October edition.
Yep.
Sometimes I tell the volunteers or the helpers to put some of the last month's editions down below or leave a few there because so many people are new to the Prime Life Times and don't know about this incredible, encouraging, informative, engaging newspaper that we put out each month.
And like you said, online. And if you missed any of these education articles like Women's Right to Vote, Native American Voting that Rob wrote, they really are extremely informative and useful. No kidding. They really are.
And I could even email you the ones we wrote that didn't make it in because
Oh, no, you can't.
You're already too busy. Get back to work, Rob. You don't have time. PrimeLifetimes.com, PrimeLifetimes.com. And we offer a subscription, $30, and that's basically the cost for us to mail it to you. So if you want to send it to a friend or you want it to arrive at your business or home or somewhere throughout the country.
It makes a wonderful gift. It makes a wonderful gift.
Yeah, $30.
Christmas coming up.
I send one to my late mother-in-law's best friend, Bobby Tucker, in North Carolina. And she reads it straight through, cover to cover, and then shares it with friends.
Yep.
And if you're still confused about the Electoral College, read Rob's article.
PrimeLifetimes.com, PrimeLifetimes.com, or call us and we can get you set up. But if you go to PrimeLifetimes.com, you'll see the subscription link. You click on it and you can pay right there online. It's $30. That's basically for 12 editions, a full year. Or you can mail in a check and we'll send that off to you right away. The October edition got mailed out yesterday as it arrived here. And we had many thousands, two full pallets of papers. I think it was 25,000 plus papers were delivered to us. And those are getting out. And we appreciate all the support and the many advertisers that help underwrite the cost of this paper. So we can offer it free of charge. And maybe you want to advertise in the Prime Life Times. There's radio spots there included, along with getting a great color ad in our paper. We have like an eighth of a page, a quarter page, a half page, a full page. Even your business card can be included. So if you want to get recognized through the Prime Life Times and through Great News Media, give us a call, 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777. The September edition of the Prime Life Times. I hope you've enjoyed it. And next week, we'll be talking about the October edition.
We will.
We'll have a special guest in, one of our content contributors. And appreciate both of your efforts with this great paper. It's being received so well. And I think as people pick it up, they love it. I think Lyle, who's in the Marvin Lee band, sometimes after his concerts, it's pointed out, hey, Lyle, I heard you're on the front page of the paper. And I don't know, 50 or 60 papers get handed out. And so maybe I'm hoping that I can raise up some volunteers at some point. Like at the end of the month, if we have just, say, a few hundred extra papers, that they'll go to the local IGA or the Walmart or someplace and get permission to hand them out to people. And we'll continue to mobilize volunteers to help us get the word out about this great paper, which also can maybe help them or lead them into the radio ministry where we have our God-honoring program that we hope will be a blessing to them all. So, all right. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and Rob Seidenberg with Great News Media. God bless you. Have a great day and night.